You know, I for one believe that there's some mighty shakings of God just around the corner. Probably by the time some of you watch this, you will have seen some things that you thought you'd never see in this world. And, you know, the Lord doesn't want us to be troubled about it. It's all part of His plan. He's a sovereign God. He works all things after the counsel of His own will. And a man can receive nothing except it come from heaven, the Bible says. We can trust in Him. He doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and upon the earth, the Scripture says. So we can trust in Him. These shakings are coming in order to bring many people into the kingdom. And yet we don't want to be anxious or fearful concerning these things. We want to be at peace. We want to be able to be used of God when these things happen. And, you know, you're totally useless to God, and I am too, if there's anxiety and fear, right? We just cannot be used of the Holy Spirit. And the devil knows that. He's making war on the saints. He is about to make great war on the saints for some period of time. And those that walk by faith have got nothing to worry about. Those who draw close to the Lord, depend upon Him even for their faith and their grace, they've got nothing to worry about. But there's a great weeding coming. You know, God is going to use these shakings to weed the church and to bring out from the apostate church many people who want to walk with the Lord and have a gift from God to walk with Him. You know, in Luke chapter 10, Jesus sent the disciples out, the 70 out, kind of an on-the-job training. And the Lord showed me that this is a foretaste. It's a foreshadowing of what's going to happen in our day in the beginning of the tribulation period, because the things that have been are the things that shall be. And the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. We're coming into a great time of grace. And the Lord is going to show up too. He's going to be manifested in His people. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And His first fruits are going to be able to do the same thing that Jesus did in His first fruits, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? And in raising up disciples too. All that is going to be repeated. And even the sending forth two by two, all that's going to be repeated. And great, wondrous things are going to happen. In this case, in Luke 10 and 17, the 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject unto us in Thy name." Well, I know some of you know that already, you know, but the overwhelming majority of Christianity doesn't. Even the overwhelming majority of God's elect don't yet know this. But they will. And they will come out, and they will be led, and they will be discipled, and they will shake the world. And so they were just so joyous to find out the demons were subject unto them. You know, in Mark 16 and 17, Jesus said, "These signs will accompany them that believe. In My name they will cast out demons." We've been given authority over demon powers. And it's a joyous thing to see people set free. But can we defend ourselves against these demons? The attacks are coming. The warfare is about to go forth against the saints and God's people, those who walk by faith, have got nothing to worry about. I want to share something with you just in this text just for a moment about fear and anxiety. And mostly I want to talk about anxiety this time. Maybe I'll get into more fear next time. But once the Lord has put His word in your heart and you've been experienced in walking in that, it's very hard for fear and anxiety to come into your heart. You know, this is what God wants to do. He wants to prepare us for the things to come. And I know that some people won't be prepared, and they will be shocked, and they will be fearful, but they will run to the Lord for refuge. And God will teach them how to walk in peace and rest. Let me read some more of this. Verse 18 says, "And He said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Well, they came back rejoicing that the demons were subject to them. And again, Jesus mentioned the spirits being subject to them in verse 20. But in the middle there, he mentions that he'd given them authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And serpents and scorpions are the spirits that he's talking about and the spirits that they were exercising authority over. Those are two different kinds of spirits. And I want to explain that to you. It has a lot of bearing on anxiety and fear and how to deal with it. And the first thing I want to point out to you is there are serpent spirits. I'm not going to go deeply in this. I've taught on this before more deeply, but I want to talk more about anxiety and fear. There are serpent spirits. And the Bible clearly identifies that. In Acts 16 and 16, there was a soothsaying maid that was troubling Paul. And finally he had enough of it, and he turned and he cast out a spirit of divination from this soothsaying maid. It's a spirit of false prophecy. And the original Greek words there mean something also. They mean a spirit, a python. The word divination there, a spirit of python. In other words, a spirit of divination is a serpent spirit, and a big one. And as you know, serpents have poison, and the poison is in their heads. And one of the reasons the Lord pointed this out to me is that serpent spirits are deceiving spirits. They have to do with your head. You know, they make war with your mind. False prophecy does that, along with all the other serpent spirits. They bring deception to mankind. But it's the second group here that I want to point out to you, the scorpions that I want to deal with today. He said, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Tread means to put them under your feet, under your authority, under your dominion, to exercise dominion over them. That's what it means. And the word scorpions here in the Greek is scorpios. Scorpios, the Greek word, where we get our English word scorpion, right? And, you know, Jesus in Luke chapter 11 was making war against the demon powers and teaching his disciples how to do just that, make war against the demon powers. And in verse 20, he says, if I, by the finger of God, cast out demons, then is the kingdom of God come upon you. Because obviously, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. It's only the kingdom of God that gives deliverance from Satan and his demons. And when the strong man, fully armed, guardeth his own court, his goods are at peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him his whole armor wherein he trusted and divideth his spoils. And we know that that's exactly what Jesus was. He was stronger than the strong man. He conquered the devil. He gave us authority over him. He gave them authority over all the power of the enemy. He passed this on to his disciples. Authority over all the power of the enemy. He was dividing the spoils. You see, we are plundering the devil's kingdom. When we preach the gospel to someone and they believe it, guess what? They were delivered out of the devil's kingdom into the kingdom of God. And when we heal the sick, the same thing. You know, and when we cast out demons, the same thing. And so on and so on. So that's our job, folks. We all have a job to do in plundering the devil's kingdom. And verse 23 says, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. You know, folks, we need to be on the Lord's side. He ordained us. He raised us up. He wants us all to have a part in this, no matter where we are or what we're doing. We work for the kingdom of God. We represent the King. We're ambassadors of Christ. We speak for him in this world. We go forth to do his works in this world. He said, these signs shall accompany them that believe. So, if you're a believer, you have a right to do those things Mark 16 speaks about. And that's healing the sick and casting out devils and doing the work of God, speaking in tongues, the gifts of the Spirit. Well, he that gathereth not with me scattereth. And I've pointed out before that the word scattereth here is the word scorpizo. Scorpizo. And it means to penetrate and put to flight. To penetrate and put to flight. Well, you know what a scorpion does, right? It's a very small creature, but it's frightening because people know the pain and the trouble and the poison that can come from it, right? There are some small creatures that frighten people more than big creatures sometimes, you know. You remember when the Israelites were going into their promised land, God spoke to them several times, and he said that he was going to send the hornet out ahead of them to drive their enemies out from before them. You know what a hornet is, right? It's a very small creature, but it's got a sting in its tail, just like the scorpion. And the poison is in its tail, not in its head, you see. And it goes forth, and boy, I tell you, it can put a lot of people to flight. I don't know if you've ever been chased by one of those before, but it can put you to flight. And, of course, God was using the hornet as a type and a shadow in the same way he's using here, the scorpion. And to penetrate and put to flight. You know what? We've been told to take up the shield of the faith, wherewith we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Right? The shield of faith. We need faith whenever we're attacked by these scorpion spirits, because their job is to cause you to run. And they can do it. They do a very good job of it. And the Lord has taught me several of these scorpion spirits. They are basically, they basically cause God's people to give up the battle in the face of the enemy. And two of the big ones, I believe, are anxiety and fear. And there's also guilt, rejection, and shame, things that cause God's people to give up the battle. You know, knowledge of the Word of God gives us power over them. When we understand who we are in Christ and that He has delivered us, we know the power that we have over Him. Unbelief is another one, a very strong one. And because all of these things cause God's people to run from the battle, the real battle, not to take up their sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith and the helmet of salvation and so on and so forth, and to conquer the enemy. And, you know, if we're not with Jesus, we're against him. And if we're not gathering with him, then we're scattered. Meaning, of course, if you're not plundering Satan's kingdom, he's plundering you. You can't have it both ways. It's one way or the other, right? Well, the Lord has given us the victory in Jesus Christ. We know that. We know that because of the sacrifice that he gave, we've been given the victory. He said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, right? And he conquered the devil. He conquered the evil one. He conquered sin. He conquered the curse. He conquered sickness. He conquered it all at the cross. We've already studied that. The good news, the real good news, gives us authority and power over the devil. And we should be able to defend ourselves against the fear and the anxiety that is going to attack many people when they see the things that are coming upon this world. You know, some fearful things are coming upon this world. And it's quite normal and natural for the wicked to run and to be fearful and to be moved by what they see and what they hear. But it's not for us. You know? The righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. It's quite normal for the wicked to be anxious and fearful, but not for us. We need to hold fast that bold faith that the Lord has given to us so that we're not given into this. You know, there are things you can do that will totally take away your defense against these demon spirits. And one of the most important ones, the ones I've seen that deliver many of God's people over to the power of these demons, is just unforgiveness. Is one of the most common ones, you know. Jesus said in Matthew 18 and 34 and 35 that if we don't forgive our brother from the heart, the Father will turn us over to the tormentors until we pay our own debt. You know? And, many of God's people don't realize they're laboring under these demons. They can't get victory. They can't overcome them. They've got no confidence. They've got no gift of faith. And they don't understand it's because they've got unforgiveness and bitterness and judgment. You know, they're all related, you know, against their brothers. And I tell you, Jesus is not a liar. He said the Father will turn you over to the tormentors. You know, one thing we have to do, folks, we have to have a clean conscience if we want to have boldness before God, don't we? 1 John chapter 3 tells us that. Let me read that to you. We're told in verse 21, Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him. Boy, that's a place of safety, isn't it? We don't have to worry about a thing. We just ask, and God answers. And He says, because we keep His commandments, in other words, we've got a clean conscience. I mean, this should put the fear of the Lord in you, not the fear of anybody else, right? He's the only one with whom we have to please, right? Is the Lord Himself. Because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. I'll read that again. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have boldness towards God. You see, if you want to be ready for the things that are coming at you, and I'm going to tell you, the devil is going to send his big guns. He's going to send fear and anxiety out there. They're going to lead the pack. And when people, usually what happens, people see something or hear something, and then all of a sudden the devil is there to penetrate and put to flight. He's there to attack. And that's when we need to be full of the boldness of the Lord and realize that we're dealing with the enemy. This is not our mind. This is the devil attacking our mind, trying to bring us down so that we will be totally useless in this battle. You know, one thing we've got to realize, folks, is that this is sin. You know, we many times people think on these things and they think, this is just a weakness in them. You know, they don't have the faith that they need. But the Bible calls, in Hebrews chapter 3, an evil heart of unbelief falling away from the living God. An evil heart of unbelief. You know, and we're told in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, but for the fearful and unbelieving, notice that, fearful and unbelieving. This is a sin, you see. And abominable and murderers and fornicators, that's thrown in with all the other sins here. Fearful and unbelieving. And sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. You see, this is sin. You know, when you're tempted with fear and anxiety, think about it, it's sin. Many people don't treat it as that. You know, they pacify it. They think about it. They give in to it. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord hadn't given us a spirit of fear, the Bible says. When that comes, it's of the devil. It is in order to manipulate us and move us to react instead of act, according to what the Word of God says. The devil wants to put us to flight before him, so that he can continue to plunder us, see? But we need to be bold in our faith. We've been given authority over him in everything, and nothing shall in any wise hurt us. Does that word actually mean that? Well, of course it does. It means that that nothing shall in any wise hurt us. But it's only effectual when you mix it with faith, according to Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. The word didn't profit them because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard. See, we've been given dominion over anxiety and fear. When we see these things coming, we should know, well, We should know from God's word that these things are going to come, that they're coming because God said he was going to shake everything that could be shaken so that the things that couldn't be shaken would remain. God is going to bring down this world. He is going to do it in the lives of his people. And great shakings are coming, things that you have never seen and I have never seen on this earth. In fact, have never happened on this earth are going to happen. And they're going to, I say, put the fear of God in his elect. But in the wicked, it's going to put the fear of the devil, the fear of the curse, the fear of the things that are coming upon the world. The hearts of men are going to fail them for the fear of things that are coming upon the world. But God's elect are going to have his patience and his peace in the midst of this. Now, I'm not saying they're going to have it all of a sudden and at the beginning, but they're all going to grow into it. They're all going to understand what it is to serve the Lord. They're all going to be highly motivated because of the things that are coming upon the world. Yes, they are coming. But I want to tell you, he calls it sin. We need to call fear and anxiety what the Bible calls it. It's sin. And God has given us a deliverance from this. We can count on it because God's delivered us from all sin. You know, by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He delivered us from sin. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Jesus took away our sin. Jesus took away fear and anxiety. We don't have to put up with it because he did that, right? We don't have to put up with it. But we can partake of the peace of God in the midst of great destructions upon this world. And they are coming, and they are coming fast. And I just want to talk to you about it today because I want you to be prepared for it. Because it's a trick of the devil to immediately show up with fear, with anxiety, when something like this happens. And you need to cast it down. You see, we're children of the King. And we're here for our own purpose, not the purpose of the world. And what the world is going to go through and take a penalty for, we don't have to take the penalty for. Our Lord Jesus already took the penalty. He became cursed for us. He bore the penalty. What should we fear, right? Look at Philippians chapter 4. First, I'm going to read to you verse 6, and then I'd like to go back and look at the text a little more. It says, "In nothing be anxious." In nothing be anxious. Some versions say careful, but the word is actually anxious. It means exactly that. In nothing be anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God, right? Since we have such authority with God, such promises with God, what is anxiety? It's unbelief. That's what it is. You do not believe, and I do not believe, that the Word of God is true when we give in to this temptation. It's sin. We need to look at it as sin and cast it down like we would any other kind of sin. The ones that are mentioned there in Revelation 21 and 8. You wouldn't think about doing some of those things that are mentioned there. But would you consider fear and anxiety the same way? As a sin before God? As unbelief before the King? As someone who's not justified because he's not letting God be true? And every man a liar? Well, we see here, it's very plain. In nothing be anxious. Who says this? God. Why? Because he's absolutely sovereign. We've got nothing to worry about. He's got everything under control. And I'd like to go back to verse 1 and just read through this for a minute. It says, "Wherefore, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my beloved. And I exhort Euodia, and I exhort Syntyche, to be of the same mind in the Lord." And the Lord showed me many years ago a neat thing here that he hid in the Word just for us, you know. He wants us to stand steadfast in the Lord, unmovable in the Lord. He doesn't want us to be moved by what we see or what we hear. You're about to hear horrendous things in this world. You're about to see horrendous things in this world. We don't want us to be moved by that at all. Just remember, we're the ones here that God is giving a demonstration to. Okay? And we're the ones he wants to teach. And he doesn't want to destroy us. He has good plans for us, right? Keep that in mind, that all these promises concerning you are true, and they are true for you. And so he says, I exhort Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind. And it's neat because the Lord spoke to me when I first read, well, one day when I read this, I don't know if it was when I first read it, but he spoke to me to go look these names up. And I did. And Euodia means to be successful in reaching a goal, right? To succeed in reaching. And Syntyche is just the opposite. It means to meet with an accident. You know, they're just opposite names here, opposite meanings here, you know. Sometimes you just walk in the success of the Lord, and sometimes you meet with an accident, right? And what is he saying? Be of the same mind no matter which one you're going through, right? Matter of fact, he said something over in verse 11 of this chapter. He says that I have learned in whatsoever state I'm in, to therein be content. Be content. Why? Because everything that comes to you, saints, comes from the hand of God, you see. He wants you to trust in Him, right? Well, I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yea, I beseech thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women, for they labored with me in the gospel. Yes, they do. They labor with all of us in the gospel. They labor with us in our own life and bearing fruit and so on and so forth. When we learn that God wants us to be stable and not moved by our emotions up and down and moved by every wind of doctrine and everything that happens in the world, He doesn't want us to be blown around. He wants us to be stable. He wants us to be steadfast on His word, like standing on a rock. I shared with you, I think, about one of the first visions we had about me standing on a rock with leg braces on. God's external power helping me to stand upon the rock. You know, His grace. Not my power, His power, you know. And, you know, He also said, these women labored with me in the gospel and with Clement, which means merciful, you know. With the merciful, God will show Himself merciful. You know, with those who will have mercy towards other and be forgiving towards others, and God will show Himself the same way. Sometimes we do much harm to ourselves in the way we relate to others, like Matthew 18, 34, and 35. You know, He turns you over to the tormentors, right? So we need to be merciful, and we need to not be moved by success or failure. Okay. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your forbearance be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. And oh, so much so today. So much more today, isn't it? And verse 6. And in nothing be anxious, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. In other words, don't worry about a thing. Just lay your requests before God. Didn't He say, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive? Are we going to be anxious or are we going to believe? You see, because anxiety here is totally against faith. And the unbelieving and the fearful will have their place in the lake of fire. It is a sin. It's a sin against God. So, if you know that, you know that you can cast it down, you can put up your shield of faith, you can quench that fiery dart, you don't have to let the scorpizo penetrate and put to flight your heart, your life, right? Well, many people are reacting. They're not acting on the word, they're reacting to what the devil is doing around them. And so, guess who you're ruled by? You know, if you're not ruled by faith, you're going to be ruled by fear. If you're not for me, you're against me, the Lord said. So you want to be moved and ruled by the Lord? Then remember, this is sin, this anxiety and this fear that comes immediately after some disaster to people's hearts. That is the devil seeking to bring you into bondage. You know, cast it down immediately. And so he says in verse 7, in the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and your thoughts in Christ Jesus. That's what we need, is the peace of God, folks. In the midst of turmoil, when the world looks at you, they wonder why you are at peace. And Of course, Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Oh, glory to God, you know. Keep your mind on what God has said, what he has taught to you. Cast down everything else that the devil fires your way, and he will keep you in perfect peace while other people are falling apart. They'll be going this way, and you'll be going that way. You know, because they always, when you're reacting to the devil, he is hurting you in the direction he wants you to go. And what is he proving? That you're one of his pack. If you follow him, you're one of his. You see? What are we proving in these wilderness tribulations and trials that we're going through? These things that are really not accidents, because nothing can come into your life by accident. They are trials from the Lord that he has absolute control over it. Otherwise, how could he say, in nothing be anxious? And how could he say that he works all things together for your good, you know? Because he is in absolute control. You can trust him. You can rest in his promises. And don't let anxiety or fear affect you. You see, cast it down. And I want to read a little bit further down here. It says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. In other words, you know, exactly what Isaiah 26:3 says, right? You'll keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Who is the truth? Jesus Christ, the Word of God, right? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and whatsoever things are honorable, and whatsoever things are just, and whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report. We want to believe and remember the good report. Doesn't make any difference what happens in the world around us. We still have to hold fast to the good report. When the Israelites were moved by fear and anxiety, they cried out that God had brought them into that wilderness to die, which was so foolish. And you only think that way when you're under the dominion of fear and anxiety, you know. The Lord hadn't brought us anywhere to fail. He brought us there to teach us to be sons of God if we will only keep our mind upon him and upon the Word of God and the good report. Remember, they listened to the bad report from the spies who did not have any faith in God. They believed that they couldn't conquer that land nor those people, right? Those giants, which was actually represented their old flesh, you know. So whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Refuse to think on the things that are going to destroy you, cause you to be manipulated, cause you to be herded before the demons of the devil, you know, herded so that you can partake of their curse, right? The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do. Now, Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord, right? And even today, folks, when you see people that are following the Lord and a good example, you know, you can pay attention to their witness and their testimony. And others, if they don't have that, don't pay much attention to them. There are many people out there speaking out of their theology, no experience whatsoever. They haven't walked with God by faith, and they're leading God's people into Babylon, basically. The things which you received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. This is what we want, folks. We want to walk in the peace of God. He will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Now, this is what we desire, folks, is to walk in peace. And if we permit the devil to penetrate our defenses, which is our faith in the Word of God, our shield of faith, and if we permit the fiery dart, if we permit the stinger to come through our defenses, you know, then we're going to be overcome by emotions, and we're going to do what the world does, and we'll be right there with the world and falling under the judgment of the world, exactly the way the Israelites were in the wilderness. They fell under the judgment of the world. They fell under the curse of Deuteronomy 28, and they died in the wilderness instead of overcoming and entering in the promised land like Joshua and Caleb did. But I'm persuaded of better things of you, Paul said, you know. I'm persuaded that the Lord is able to keep you and to bring you through these troubling times in boldness and in courage, right? And make sure that, as 1 John chapter 3 says, you know, that there's nothing in your heart that will hinder because you're being obedient to God. There's nothing in your heart that will separate you from that boldness that God gives to those that are obedient, right? If your heart condemns you not, you have boldness towards God, right? The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, there's one place in the Bible where Jesus spoke about anxiety. It was in a chapter 6, and he spoke it 6 times. And he didn't do that anywhere else. You know, and that was in the story in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. And I want to read that to you because it's the thing where it's where an awful lot of people, a lot of Christians, struggle. And we're headed towards a wilderness trial here, folks. And one thing you see in a wilderness trial is the Lord suffered his people to see lack so he would see what they would do. He suffered them to be tried so he could see how they would react. And all these places that the Lord led his people, Israel in the wilderness, it was from one trial to the next of seeing lack ahead of them. And of course, they had an opportunity to be penetrated by fear and anxiety and begin to run in the opposite direction of God, begin to cry out in unbelief and accuse God of things that he had no mind to do, you know, to kill them in the wilderness. But you know what? They convinced him. They convinced him that that's exactly what they needed. You know, it was their fault. He said, as you've spoken in my ear, so shall it be unto you. They had faith for it, and he gave it to them. You know, be it unto you according to your faith. See, anxiety and fear is faith. It's just negative faith. It's faith in the curse and faith in the devil. And I want to tell you, God will let you have it if you'll believe it. If you'll believe what he says, you'll get what he gives out, right? And but the Lord is giving out his gifts of faith and boldness. And I'd like to read what Jesus had to say here. It's concerning his provision for you in the times to come. I know some of you are watching me today, and you don't believe there's anything but peace and prosperity coming to God's people because how special they are. Well, folks, you're just you're missing history. I mean, please read the Bible again. God's people went through fiery trials. They were hated of the nations. And let me tell you, Jesus said the same of us, that you're going to be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Well, I tell you, some of you have never gone through any of that, being hated of others. And none of us have gone through what we're about to see. The hatred of the whole world against Christianity. The Lord is raising up a very big enemy against his small group of elect, exactly the way it was with Israel. But you know what? The Lord is doing all this to show himself strong in behalf of them who have put their faith and trust in him. And Jesus talked about the provision that he's going to have for you. You know, the Lord's going to take a lot of worldly provision away from his people in the days to come, so that their provision will come from heaven. He is going to provide for his people. The one in this chapter, Jesus mentions 6 times the Greek word for anxiety. It's the same one we just read in Philippians 4 and 6. And always it was about their provision, the things that they needed to live in the wilderness. Okay, let me read that to you. Verse 19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth consume, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Why is it that God's people feel like they need to store up things for the future, you know? Many people's confidence is in what they can store up, not what God promised that he would do. That's where their confidence is. In fact, he goes on to mention mammon. Let me read on a little bit here. For where thy treasure is, there will thy heart be also. Meaning, of course, if your treasure is something that you stored up as a provision for your future, then that's where your heart will be. And he says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. In other words, an eye that is single is not an eye that's set upon its own provision. It's not set upon things that it's stored up and saved up to save self in the days to come, right? If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye that's dark, of course, is the eye that has its confidence in the things of this world. I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute here. He says, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Two masters. Well, what is he talking about? Well, he says here, you cannot serve God and mammon. Now, mammonas is the common Aramaic word for riches. And it comes from an Old Testament Hebrew word, matmon, you know, which means hidden treasures, right? And mammonas also has a meaning. It means confidence. And it means that which is trusted in. You know, mammon here represents trusting in worldly treasures that are stored up or hidden. That's what it means, the full meaning of it. Trusting in the things of the world to provide salvation. And as you know, the Israelites, when they came out of Egypt, God permitted them to have something that they trusted in, gold and silver that was given into their hands by the Egyptians, by the world. And again, they made an idol out of this, meaning what? They trusted in it. And God wanted them to be tried in this way because he was the one who permitted them to go out there with this gold, you know. But his plan was to try them to see if they would be faithful, and they weren't. And they made an idol out of that gold, the thing that they had stored up to preserve them through their wilderness trials. God wanted to meet their needs out of heaven, and that was his plan from the beginning. He had to get the gold out of the way, and he did. He had it all ground up and thrown upon the creek that they were at the time, and they were even told to drink it, you know. In other words, I hope you remember this lesson, you know. That's what was the whole point behind it. So the things that people trust in, that they are storing up for the times to come. Because why? Because they do not believe the Word of God. They do not believe what Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 says, that my God shall supply your every need according to his riches in glory. They do not believe the Word of God. They what? Anxious, troubled, fearful, and trusting and having confidence in mammon, the eye that is evil, you know, the eye that is not single, right? Let me read on. Let's see if Jesus confirms this, right? Verse 25, therefore I say unto you, be not anxious. There's one of them right there. That's the same word, merimnao, the same word that we just read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be not anxious for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. We don't have to worry about these things. We don't even have to worry about these things. We don't have to worry about, in our own strength, preparing to preserve ourselves in the days to come. Many people say they get words from the Lord about this, folks. I'm going to tell you something. We're coming to a time when God wants to prove His power to save you by signs and wonders and miracles, not by your old worldly methods. I mean, God's provision came out of heaven to God's people. He didn't want them to be anxious. He didn't want them to be fearful. He wanted them to trust in His provision. And so He ran them out of everything that they provided for themselves when they came out of Egypt. And He ran them out of water and food and all these things. And He provided for them water out of the rock and manna out of heaven and quail out of the sky, right? He provided for them. And God, this is why we're coming to the exact same time in history, except this time it's for the church. And that God is once again going to provide for those who believe, you see. And He says here, let me read on, is not the life more than the food and the body than the raiment? Yes, it is. It's much more important. Behold, the birds of the heaven, that they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, and your heavenly Father feedeth them. Have you thought that if you couldn't provide for yourself, if the economy went down, which it will, and you couldn't work, that God would not provide for you? Well, I guarantee He will if you walk by faith. The birds sow not. Is God teaching that we don't need to work for a living? Obviously not. The Bible says if a man don't work, he don't eat. But I'll tell you what I believe is going to happen. I believe there's going to be a great exchange in these days. God's people are going to finally wake up and begin to take the Great Commission seriously. What did Jesus say? If you're not gathering, you're going to be scattered. He wants us gathering. He raises up disciples to do His work of the Great Commission. Now, if you're not working for the world, you can work for Him, right? Even the birds and the flowers work for Him, you know? But they don't toil in the world, and God still feeds the birds and clothes the flowers. And He says, behold the birds of the heaven, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. In other words, they're not storing up their treasures, their food for the days to come, right? And your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are not ye of much more value than they? And verse 27. And which of you being anxious, there it is again, shall add one cubit unto the measure of his life? Oh no, anxiety does nothing but destroy you physically, mentally, emotionally. It brings sickness. You know, it tears down your immunity. It brings sickness into your life. Anxiety does nothing. Faith can do anything, but anxiety can do nothing but bring you more harm. And verse 28 says, And why are you anxious? There it is again, concerning raiment, concerning the lilies. Consider the lilies of the field, how that they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wow. If God clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? The Lord's going to take care of us. Don't worry about a thing. Some of you are going to lose your jobs that you so prize and maybe your high standard of living, but you're going to exchange your attitude towards the world and the things of the world for one that's like those disciples in Jesus' day. You know, the Christians were plundered in Jesus' day. When they became Christians, when those Jews became Christians, they were plundered. Nobody would do business with them. They couldn't do business with the world. They basically were in a wilderness, folks. And yet the Lord provided for them because they put their trust in them, in the Lord, right? Oh, ye of little faith, be not, He says, be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, and wherewithal shall we be clothed? Why does He keep mentioning the same thing? Because He knew the carnal nature, and He knew the trials that were coming for the Jewish Christians in these days. They were going into their tribulation. Jesus spoke this in the beginning of the first three and a half years of their tribulation. And he knew what they were going through, and he knew what we're going to go through in our day. The same thing, folks. I'm telling you, there is a great economic collapse coming, and yet God has made this promise, and he is going to provide for his people. First thing you need to do is don't give in to any anxiety or fear. Know that God has said he's your Jehovah Jireh. He's going to provide for you in everything. He wants to show you his glory. He wants to show you his power. Be not fearful. Be not therefore anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles, or the heathen in that time, right, seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. He already knows this. You don't have to worry. You don't have to beg. You don't have to spend hours and hours on your knees. All you've got to do is be anxious for nothing. Just let your prayers and requests be known to God with thanksgivings. You know, you're not going to be heard for your much speaking. You know, don't be fearful or anxious because of what you see, or because you, it appears like you're coming to the end of your own provision. Because God may be bringing you there. He is going to ultimately do it, bring you to the end of your own provision so that you can see God's provision. He wants to show you a miracle, many miracles. Okay. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Can you imagine that God is going to make sure you're going to be provided for as you seek first his kingdom? That is, seek to build his kingdom, both in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Seek first his kingdom. And what did he say? He's going to make sure that you have everything that you need. Okay? Of course, you're not going to have a love of the world, because if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. And I would say the overwhelming majority of Christians have a problem with the love of the world. And they're even taught that in their prosperity-minded churches. I'm not talking about the prosperity of the Bible. I'm talking about the prosperity of the world, that they have to have the things of the world, right? Be not therefore anxious for the morrow, for the morrow will be anxious for itself. Now, six times that Jesus mentions this word anxious, and it's about our provisions, our needs being met by God. And he said he will take care of it. He said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Don't worry about tomorrow. Remember that. Remember that command by Jesus. Don't worry about tomorrow. The Lord is going to take care of it for you. You don't have to be fearful. He said, little flock, it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh, glory to God. It certainly is. And I'd like to show you, too, Luke chapter 10. In verse 38. Now as they went on their way, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at the Lord's feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and she came unto him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister didst leave me alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. But the Lord answered and said unto her, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. Folks, we just need to do one thing. Sit at the Lord's feet. Don't be anxious and troubled about how to serve God or what to do in this world. There's just one thing that's important. Sit at his feet. Listen to him. You know, there's great shakings coming across the world in these days, and I think probably by the time some of you view this program, there will have been great shakings even more. I'm expecting one to come to America in the next very little bit. And I tell you, the devil uses this to try to bring fear upon God's people. In fact, he uses things that we see and things that we hear to bring fear upon us. It's like the devil stands right there, or the demons of fear, they stand right there until something happens, and immediately they pounce on us. You know, have you ever felt that spirit of fear just come over you like a blanket? And Well, don't pacify that, because you're obviously meant to make war against that. And but the devil uses that. He uses things that we hear to put fear on us. And remember, we spoke about the Scorpazo spirits, the scorpion spirits, whose job it is to penetrate and put to flight, you know, to cause a person to be fearful or anxious and to flee from the devil and, of course, be no threat against his kingdom. And fear is one of the devil's big guns, so to speak, you know. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, some of you know it by heart, I'm sure, "For God gave us not a spirit of fearfulness, but of power and of love and of discipline," or actually sobering. The Greek word is sobering. He didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness. You know, when fear comes upon you, if you're not walking in some willful disobedience, which really doesn't give you much of a choice but to have fear, if you're wise, you will fear the Lord when you're in willfully disobedient, at least, you know. But if a spirit of fear comes upon you, you know that that's not from God. It's from the devil. And you shouldn't give in to it, pacify it, think about it. If you do, it's going to conquer you. That's what it comes for. It comes for the purpose of penetrating your armor and putting you to flight. You know, the shield of the Spirit, you know, which quenches the fiery darts of the evil one. God describes it in so many different ways. But we know that the only fear that we should have is the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And if we fear the Lord, we will depart from unrighteousness, the Bible says. But any other fear, the fear of man brings a snare. The fear of the devil is foolishness, because it's, of course, giving faith to the devil. Fear is faith. Fear is negative faith. Fear is faith in the curse, faith in the devil, faith in failure. And, of course, our Lord Jesus said, "Be it unto you according to your faith." And that's why one reason Job said, "The thing that I greatly feared has come upon me." It's interesting that we understand that our fears come to pass just like our faiths do. They're just opposite reactions, but both of them are faith, you know. But the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, 21 and verse 7, "He that overcometh shall inherit these things." Now, of course, the Lord is implying that if you don't overcome, you're not going to inherit these things. And, of course, he's speaking of the new heaven and the new earth and all the great things that God has provided for God's people. "He that overcometh." Now, some people don't think we have anything to overcome. They think that Jesus overcame it all, which is true. But you know that Jesus overcame so that we could overcome. We learn to abide in him and see those works manifest. You know, so faith without works is dead, the Bible says. "So he that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Overcomers are sons of God. See, and they'll inherit the kingdom. But for the fearful, the unbelieving, which are very similar, let me say that if you are fearful, you are unbelieving. It is negative faith, faith in the curse, faith in the devil. Notice, "He that overcometh is expected to overcome these things." You see, you're not an overcomer unless you've overcome these things, because he says, "He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But, so he's speaking of the opposite, "but for the fearful and the unbelieving," that is those that do not overcome these things, right? "But for the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be and the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Fearful and unbelieving is grouped right in there with these really abominable sins. Some people think that fear is just a weakness, and so they pacify it because they consider it just a weakness of their own. But the Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fearfulness, right? It's more than a weakness, it's a sin. And it's unbelief. The Bible calls it in Hebrews chapter 3 an evil heart of unbelief. And in falling away from the living God. Fear is something we need to make war against whenever we feel its presence, whenever we have the thoughts. You know, fear can manifest in even worse ways, you know. But most of all, it causes us to run from the devil. It causes us to give up the fight. It causes us to lose ground. And, you know, he mentions that the fearful and the unbelieving are the wicked. And obviously, there's a part of every one of us that is wicked, and it's that old man that we want to overcome. The flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit lusts against the flesh, the Bible says. They both lust one against the other. These two are contrary. And there's a war going on in every one of us that we can overcome through faith in the overcoming victory that Jesus had at the cross. You know, because as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. When Christ was resurrected, we were too. We received his resurrection life. And when he overcame, we also overcame, you see. We were crucified with Christ. And even the old man was put to death with Christ. But we hold on to our faith to see it manifested in the physical realm. The gift that's been given unto us, we can overcome to receive, right? And in Job chapter 15, there's an awesome revelation I want to share with you. Job 15, in verse 20. By the very fact that he calls the fearful wicked, we should know that we need to fight against this spirit. The wicked man travaileth with pain all of his days. Verse 20. Even the number of years that are laid up for the oppressor, a sound of terrors is in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon him. Isn't that amazing? You know, what's one of the words that we hear most nowadays? Terror and terrorist, right? Interesting that in these last days, it's very common, isn't it? And we're, I believe, coming to the end of the 7 years of plenty that was prophesied by Joseph, and we're coming to the beginning of the 7 years of famine. And I believe we can look around us and see that that's what's on the horizon now. But this is coming upon the prosperous, you see. He says, he believeth not that he shall return out of darkness. The wicked are in terror, and they don't believe that they will return out of darkness. You know, isn't that the gospel? Isn't that the good news? That we are delivered out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love? Isn't it the good news that we're supposed to believe? But the wicked don't believe that. And they live in terror. And he is waited for of the sword. He wandereth abroad for bread, saying, where is it? He knoweth that the day of darkness is ready at his hand. Distress and anguish make him afraid. They prevail against him as a king ready to the battle. You know, the wicked are conquered by fear. The devil conquers them. He rules them. Do you know that if you are ruled by fear, if you react to fear, if you act according to your fear, that you're submitting to the devil's kingdom? You're not submitting to God, because he hadn't given us a spirit of fearfulness. So if you're ruled by fear, you're not ruled by God. You're in idolatry. You know, you are having faith in the devil. Because he has stretched out his hand against God and behaveth himself proudly against the Almighty. Why does fear come upon the wicked? Because they're acting against God. It's part of the judgment that comes upon them. And is acting proudly against the Almighty. Wow. You know, those who walk in sin, God turns over to the devil. And, I mean, of the kingdom people even. You know, I mean, we discovered in our last teaching, you know, and in Matthew 18 and 34, that Jesus said that if you didn't, for instance, forgive your brother from the heart, that he said his father would turn you over to the tormentors. Well, the wicked world, they're already delivered over to the tormentors. You know, they live in torment, you know. But the righteous are not supposed to be. I mean, they are coming out of darkness. They're believing God to come out of the kingdom of darkness. But the wicked do not believe that. And so they live under the tormentors. They live under fear and anxiety, two of the tormentors. And but the problem is, he says here, because they have stretched out their hand against God, that he has delivered them over to this fear. Okay? And, you know, we're told in 1 John chapter 3, 21 and 22, you know, that if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask of him, we receive, because we keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. So if we've got a clear conscience, we've got boldness. We don't have fear. And God's not going to permit fear to come upon a person who has a clear conscience. And if it comes, it comes to be a trial unto you, and your boldness is the very thing that will vanquish it. You know, the righteous are as bold as a lion, but the wicked flee when no man pursueth. You know, fear is natural and normal to the wicked. Because, and who are the wicked? Well, those that sin. It doesn't matter whether you're a Christian or not. If you're walking in sin, you're wicked, right? And that person won't have a boldness towards God and towards his benefits, because their conscience condemns them. So, if you want a defense against fear in the days to come, because as I say, when you see things that are fearful and you hear about things that are fearful, that's usually when the devil pounces upon you, and he does it in order to overcome you so that you can do nothing about it. You're just running from him, right? And Jesus told us, you know, basically, if we're not plundering the devil's kingdom, that we're going to be running from him. A clear conscience. Without a clear conscience, when we have guilt, you know, guilt is also a demon, and it can be wrong. If you don't know the gospel, if you don't know that your sins are covered, for instance, you can have false guilt. And guilt can deliver you over to fear. You know, a matter of fact, that's kind of what happened to Adam. Let's turn there and look at that. Genesis chapter 2. Now, you remember that Adam only had one commandment, right? Don't touch that tree, right? Don't touch that fruit of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he broke God's law. He broke his rule. And it says in verse 7, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked." Now, once again, folks, nakedness here is a representation of the guilt of sin. That's what it represents, the guilt of sin. They knew that they were naked. They didn't know this until they partook of the knowledge of good and evil. But now they were made sinners, because now they knew they had broken God's law. And so guilt is the first thing they received here. They knew they were naked. "And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons," obviously attempting to cover their guilt, right? Men try to cover their guilt in various ways of self-works. As we know, God slew animals, and without the shedding of blood, there is no covering for our sins, right? So he didn't accept their works to alleviate their guilt. And they made aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord and amongst the trees of the garden. Obviously, many people are hiding themselves because of their guilt. They don't want to face God. They don't like to read the Word because it condemns them. They don't know the great sacrifice that the Lord has made for them to be given grace to overcome. And so it makes them feel bad when they face themselves, when they face the Word, so on and so forth. They're hiding from God because of their guilt, right? And of course, many Christians are doing the same thing. And the Lord God called unto the man and said unto him, "Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked." Guilt brings fear. If you don't want to be overcome by fear, we need to confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. We need to repent, confess our sins, and have faith that Jesus has given us authority over this old flesh. You know, the real good news is, folks, the Lord wants to live the Christian life in us. Many people are living under the bondage of guilt, and there's no reason, because the real good news is that he already set us free, right? But anyway, if you've got guilt, the devil can use that, and he can bring fear upon you because you don't have that boldness, right? You don't have that boldness towards God. So he brings fear upon you to conquer you. Or sometimes we get so far down, we're willing to look up. And sometimes the Lord just lets the devil take advantage of us until we're willing to look up, to get our eyes on him and to have faith in what he's accomplished at the cross. So faith that brings obedience gives us victory over fear. And Leviticus 26, I think, is a very good example of this. Verse 13, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you forth out of the land of Egypt." Now, we know as Christians that we too have been delivered out of the land of Egypt, haven't we? Spiritually speaking, Egypt represents the world, and we've been delivered from bondage to the world, bondage to the old man who is the Egyptian. We've been delivered out of it. He said that you should not be their bondman, and I have broken the bars of your yoke and made you go upright. So we've been delivered out of bondage, right? Then he says, which is basically the gospel, isn't it? We've been delivered from bondage. He made you free from sin. You're no longer in bondage to the old man, right? Verse 14, "But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments," notice how many times he says the same thing over and over here, "and if you shall reject my statutes, and if your soul abhor mine ordinances, so that you will not do all my commandments," I mean, I think you made the point, Lord, you know, but "break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will appoint terror over you." So God delivers people who are rebellious against his word over to fear. "I will appoint terror over you, even consumption and fever, that shall consume the eyes and make the soul to pine away. And you shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it." Yes, so many people are plundered by the devil constantly, because they're rebellious against his word, they're delivered over to fear, they've got no boldness to come against the devil, and they don't understand why they're devoured by the devourer, as Malachi 3 talks about. And I will set my face against you, and you shall be smitten before your enemies. They that hate you shall rule over you, and you shall flee when none pursueth you. Yes, Proverbs 28, and verse 7, I believe it is, says the same thing, you know. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are as bold as a lion, right? So God appoints terror over rebellious people, whether it is God's rebellious people or whether it's the people of the world, they are ripe for terror. And so terror in these days, I believe, is something that God has loosed through the devil to motivate people to run to God, right? To run to repentance and faith and boldness so that we may be delivered of these things. You know, fear brings us back into bondage. You know, fear is bondage. Fear is bondage to the devil, and fear will bring us right back to Egypt, you know, and right back to that bondage. Deuteronomy 28, I think, speaks of that in verse 64. And the Lord will scatter thee among all peoples, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. You know, a lot of people don't realize that everything that happened to Israel happens to the church in a spiritual way. And the church was said by Peter to be just one holy nation. And we were grafted into the olive tree called all of Israel. You know, we are one people. But we've been divided. We've been scattered. He talks about the shepherds that scatter the flock. We've been divided. We've been scattered. And we've been brought into bondage to the nations of the world. Now God is calling us out of those nations to our one holy nation, which is spiritual Israel. You see, we've been called out from among them. But when we rebel against God, and he brings us in under the spirit of fear, we go back into bondage. Watch as we read this. And there thou shalt serve other gods which thou hast not known, nor thy fathers, even of wood and of stone. Yeah, you know the word gods is the words that mean mighty ones. You know, who are the church's mighty ones? If you want to ask, what kind of gods is the church serving? Just stop and think about it. Much of the church, by their own actions, prove that they have trust in their government, trust in their military, trust in their doctors, trust in their bank accounts. These are the mighty ones that the church is trusting in because they're in bondage to the nation of the world instead of the nation of Israel. But he has called us out. You know, what he just got through saying is he delivered us out of Egypt that we might be his holy nation, right? And verse 65 says, and among these nations shalt thou find no ease, and there shall be no rest for the sole of thy foot, but the Lord will give thee there a trembling heart. See, when you're living in the world, God says this over and over, he's going to give you fear. You see, of course, we need to have fear to live in the world because there's no eternal life there, you know. And there's nothing but the curse there, right? He will give thee a trembling heart and failing of eyes and pining of soul. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And thou shalt fear night and day. Wow, is this coming to pass in these days or not? It's obvious, you know. And shalt have no assurance of thy life. Fear. Just fear, right? In the morning, thou shalt say, would it were evening. And at even, thou shalt say, would it were morning. For the fear of thy heart, which thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. And the Lord will bring thee into Egypt again. Well, you know what brought God's people into Egypt the first time, right? Well, we know that Jacob's sons were the patriarchs, his 12 sons. And they were not obedient to their father. And, of course, Joseph watched over them and brought the report of them to their father, and they didn't really like that. But they also persecuted the righteous. They persecuted Joseph, right? And what happened because of this? God sent them into Egypt. They were 400 years in bondage in Egypt, right? And he says, the Lord will bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I said unto thee, thou shalt see it no more again. At God's command is we never go back to Egypt, right? Never go back into bondage to the old man. But that's what he's talking about. And there you shall sell yourselves unto your enemies for bondmen and for bondwomen, and no man shall buy you. So he gives fear. Men go back into bondage to the old man. You know what happens when you fear? People do strange things when they fear. One thing is they take control themselves instead of trusting in God. Who is self? Well, self is the old man. Meaning what? Meaning you're going back into bondage. The old man is ruling once again. The Egyptian who once ruled over the Israelite is now ruling over him again, right? So you're gone back into bondage. And what is one of the devil's, you know, big guns in order to bring you there? It's fear. People do many things when they fear. They can even be brought, even Christians, to killing their fellow man because they fear. Or running to the arm of the flesh because they fear. You know? They have a fear of death. And so they do what is totally contrary to the Word of God, which is to rest in God, trust in God, believe that He has healed you, delivered you, whatever, you know. Fear causes people to go back into bondage. It causes them to have no strength before the enemy. It causes them to run from their enemies, right? But God delivered us from this. And we're not in bondage anymore if we believe the gospel. We need to believe to come out of darkness, as we just read there. But when you have fear, you don't believe that you can come out of darkness. You don't believe the gospel. When you have fear, you believe the devil. You believe the curse. You believe that God has not separated you unto Himself to protect, heal, deliver, provide for you, contrary to the rest of the whole world. You don't believe those things. See? So the devil's is in an attempt in these days, going to attempt in these days, to make war on the people of God through the things that they see and the things that they hear in order to bring them into bondage. But our greatest strength, folks, is going to be walking by faith in obedience. Because the devil cannot get a foothold if we do that. You know, in Proverbs chapter 1, listen to what the Lord says, verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? Now, he's talking about here being simple in the knowledge of God, simple in the knowledge of the Word. See, how long will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. This is the simplicity part, because they hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Obviously, two things that we need desperately is to have the Word of God sown in our heart, which brings forth the fruit of Christ, and the power of God's Spirit. He's offering us tremendous gifts here. And yet, sometimes we are not interested. But you can wait too late. Verse 24. Because I have called, and you have refused, and I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Notice he didn't say, if your fear cometh. He said, when your fear cometh. If you reject, continue to reject beyond the time of God's patience, His Word and His Spirit, He says this fear will come upon you. And when your fear cometh as a storm, folks, we're going to see that in days to come. Multitudes of people of the earth are going to be swayed this way and that way because of fear, and be moved to do terrible things because of fear. And your calamity cometh on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. And they will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. Now, obviously, if you've got the fear of the Lord, you cannot have the fear of the devil. The Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from iniquity. You cannot have both at the same time. So if you fear the Lord, the Bible says, fear the Lord and depart from evil, right? If you fear the Lord, that's a good fear. Obviously, it's a good fear. Because if we fear the Lord, we will serve Him, you know. If we fear the devil, we can't serve him because we're too busy serving the devil. We're running from the devil. And that's his plan. And he says in verse 30, they would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the backsliding of the simple shall slay him. Notice it's no man that slays him. It's his own backsliding that slays him, right? And the careless ease of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell securely. If we are seeking to be obedient to the Lord with our faith in Him, trusting in His grace, He empowers us in turn to be obedient, and that's a place of security. And shall be quiet without fear of evil. And shall be quiet without fear of evil. The Lord promises to those who are obedient because of their faith. Obedience is the fruit of faith, you see. They don't call it works as though it's a negative work. It's not. Faith without works is dead. That's God's works, right? So he says they'll be quiet without fear. Without fear. Those who are obedient because of their faith, because they've received grace through their faith to be so, they will be without fear. But the rest will go under a spirit of bondage. And fear is a spirit of bondage. Matter of fact, Romans chapter 8, verse 12 says something very similar to that. Let me read that to you. Verse 12, so then, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear. Notice, the spirit of bondage again unto fear. But you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, the Jewish scholars say that no servant would dare call Abba, Father, to the head of a household. This is somebody who has a relationship to the Father, that of a child to the Father. And as many as are the sons of God, you know, he says, that's who he's speaking about. But he says, notice he says, but you received the spirit of adoption. Now the word adoption there is huiosthesia, which means son placing. Son placing. You know, when we're adopted, we're placed as sons. God adopts children who are servants, according to Galatians, right? A child is a servant, right? He adopts them as sons, right? Sonship is what we're growing into. We're bearing the fruit of the Son, Jesus Christ. As the Son, Jesus Christ, comes to live in us, we manifest our sonship, right? Well, you're either submitted to the Spirit of God as a son, or you're under the spirit of bondage unto fear, he says. And fear is obviously bondage. Fear is rules and reigns over people that have it, and they cannot get control of themselves. Terror causes them to run rampant before the devil and be ruled over by the devil. And we're going to see crazy things happen in this world because of fear in the days to come. Very crazy thing. We're going to see Christians who are not Christians because of fear. And all that God asks us to do is several very minor things. And at least, let me say that it's something that's already been paid for by the Lord. He's already delivered us out of the power of darkness. And he's delivered us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He wants us to walk by faith. And if we will walk by faith in him, we'll be able to cast down fear. We'll be able to walk the walk. Okay? And faith obviously gives us the power to walk the walk. In Hebrews chapter 2, let me read something to you there. Verse 14 or 15, let me see. Yes, 14. Since then the children are sharers in flesh and blood, he also himself in like manner partook of the same, that through death he might bring to naught him that had the power of death, that is the devil. The Lord came to deliver us from the power of death, and might deliver all of them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, the worldly people, it's obvious that because of fear of death, they do things that they do, and they're in bondage, you know. But Christians are not supposed to be in that bondage, you see. And Jesus came, notice, to deliver us from the fear of death, so that we wouldn't all of our life be subject to bondage. He came to deliver us from the fear of death. Okay, and he did that. He accomplished that. You know, he bore upon himself our sins. And one of the sins, as we've seen from Revelation chapter 21, is fear. He bore the sin of fear. You don't have to put up with fear because he delivered you from that darkness. He bore upon himself that curse. And we don't have to walk in fear. We have authority over fear because of what Jesus did at the cross. We can say no to fear. And many of you have experienced that, I know. Just rebuking fear, denying fear, refusing to listen to fear. Many things, you know. But we have total authority over fear. We can say no to fear. Again, fear brings us into bondage. When fear comes upon us, it is to cause us to serve it. And the fear of death many times causes us to do things that we wouldn't normally do. And I remember one time when one of my children was being born at home. And this was a very strange situation because it was my oldest son. And when it came time for birth, actually, it's then that we discovered that he was breech, and that his feet were coming out first, you know. And I tell you, when I saw that, it was like the devil was waiting for me to see that little toe come out first to just jump on me with the spirit of fear. And instead of listening to it, you know, of course, the devil tells you all things, everything is going to happen unless you go back to trusting in man, unless you go back to doing it the way of the world, right? But the Lord had led me to do this. He wanted me to have a lesson of trusting in him. So when I saw that little toe, I felt that spirit of fear come in that room. And I want to tell you, the first thing I did was say, oh, we're going to stop right here. We're going to pray. We're going to make war against this spirit. And we did. And we commanded that demon to go in the name of Jesus Christ. And he did. And then we were no longer in bondage because of this fear of death. You know, the fear of death could be more than just physical death. Many people fear death to self. They fear giving up their old life. And so because of the fear of death, the devil is able to keep us in bondage. Because he keeps us running to the world and the ways of the world, the methods of the world. And instead, Jesus came to set us free from that. Since we know that he did do that, now we have authority over fear. Of course, if you're walking in sin, as you can see, you've got no boldness, and you won't be able to deny fear. It will overcome you. But if you're not walking in sin, you're walking by faith in God, you have authority over fear. You can cast it down. It will have to submit to you because of what Jesus said. He gave you authority over all the power of the enemy. Nothing shall in any wise hurt you. One thing we do to conquer fear is we just refuse to listen. Just refuse to listen, you know. When things like that happen, of course, I have to go on to say that the baby was born. He was born a footling breech, 1 foot up, 1 foot down, and breech. And, of course, they always do a cesarean like that. They never birth a baby that way, and some people don't know if it's even possible to do that. But I tell you, I told that baby to come out of there in the name of Jesus, and that baby was born a footling breech. Come out in the name of Jesus, I said. And it was born, and that was after we ran the spirit of fear off. And it was born a footling breech. So you see, God can do anything, folks. Glory be to God. His power is just absolutely, totally awesome. But we have to have our wits about us to be able to manifest. If you got fear, you don't have boldness. If you got fear, you don't have faith. You know, you have faith in the devil and faith in the curse. So one thing we got to do is not listen to the voice of the devil. You know, look at Psalm 55 in verse 3. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in anger they persecute me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Because of the voice of the enemy, all these things are true. And one thing he says is, the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Because of the voice of the enemy. You know what, folks? We just don't listen. You know, we cast down these thoughts. We just don't listen. We pray that God will always bring to our remembrance the things that he has said unto us. You know, and he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. We hold fast to the word. We recognize this is the devil. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. This is the devil. Now I can stop. I can take authority. I can have victory over this. I do not need to listen to this as though it were me, because it's not me, you see. We've been delivered from fear. And the Bible tells us that we should fill ourselves with thoughts. Let me read to you Philippians chapter 4. We can fill ourselves with thoughts that give us peace. Philippians 4 and 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We know that this is not true. When the spirit of fear comes, he's telling us a lie, something contrary to the scriptures, and we're not supposed to listen to it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honorable, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, and whatsoever things are of a good report. Now, what caused the people to fear when they saw the giants? The bad report. They brought the bad report, and it caused the people's hearts to melt. They feared because of the bad report. Now, you know, well-meaning people can bring us a bad report. But if it's contrary to God's word, we need to cast it out and cast it down. You know, be careful when you've made somebody your God. Be careful when you've made medicine your God or doctors your God, when they bring you the bad report. Remember that by the stripes of Jesus, you were healed. You can't be sick. You were healed. Cast it down. If you accept that, if fear causes you to accept that, then you've got it. Jesus said, be it unto you according to your faith. Listen, cast it down. How can you be sick when it says, by whose stripes you were healed? And so when they bring that bad report, what happens? Fear comes into your being, because the devil's sitting right there waiting for you to hear what this guy's got to say. And when you accept it, fear jumps on you, because the devil knows you're going to have a testimony if you continue in your faith. So he's attacking you to keep you from being delivered from this curse, delivered out of this darkness, and to walk by faith in the Lord. And what does he say? If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, or take account of these things, is what it says. The things which you both learned and received and heard and saw in me, these things do, and the God of peace shall be with you. The God of peace. And 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 talks about our warfare and tells us to cast down reasonings and everything that's exalted against the knowledge of God. Bring every thought into captivity to Christ. And if we will learn to do that, fear will never have a foothold. And we will conquer it. And God is just omnipotent to work in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. We don't have to give in to the thoughts of the devil, and we can cast them down. He said, because of the voice of the enemy, the terrors of death are fallen upon me. The voice of, remember, that is the voice of the enemy. That is the devil when he comes to do this to you. And we don't have to put up with it. In Isaiah chapter 8, you know, some of you have listened to things that are bringing fear into your life. You're reading things. You know, not only don't listen to the voice of the devil, but don't read the voice of the devil, and don't look at the voice of the devil, because people give you things that put fear in your heart. Some of you are studying things that are putting fear in you, not building faith in you for the days to come. You know, Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 9 says, make an uproar, O ye peoples, and be broken in pieces, and give ear, all of ye of far countries. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves and be broken in pieces. A great tumult is coming over the world in these days, folks. He said, take counsel together, and it shall be brought to naught. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For God is with us. You know, Emmanuel is with us. You know, it is not our power, it's His power in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. For the Lord spake thus to me with a strong hand, and instructed me not to walk in the way of this people, saying, say ye not a conspiracy concerning all whereof this people shall say a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread. You know what? I know Christians who study conspiracies all the time. And all it's filling their heart with is fear. They don't have any faith towards God. They don't have any boldness towards God. They're afraid of the things that are coming upon the world because they're disobedient. You know, it doesn't matter who is behind the things that are coming upon the world. The Lord is ultimately behind it all, because the Bible says He works all things after the counsel of His own will. He was behind what came to Job. And standing back and looking at Job's situation, we see that we shouldn't fear, because God Almighty's in control. Okay? So if you study these conspiracies and you see that men are out to do you in, or the devil's out to do you in, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time studying what men are trying to do, because it's God Almighty that's behind it. And His purpose is good for you. His purpose is to bring you to repentance and to faith in Him, you see. And so if you're studying men and you're worried about what they might be doing and that you have to do something about it, and you get in the flesh, it's all because you studied these conspiracies. He says, say ye not a conspiracy concerning whereof all this people shall say a conspiracy. Neither fear ye their fear, nor be in dread. The Lord of hosts, Him shall you sanctify. And let Him be your fear. Why? Because He is the one that's ultimately in control. Not the world, not the wicked, not the Illuminati, not anybody else. He is in control. And He says, if a man's ways please the Lord, He makes His enemies to be at peace with him. You see? So the Lord has absolute control over our enemies. He has control over our life. And He said we would be in safety and would not fear. Did He not? Okay. So we need to put our trust in God. We need to cast down these things that have our sight on men. The fear of man brings a snare, the Bible says. You know, we don't, in Proverbs 29, 25 and 26, if you are afraid of man, you're going to be in bondage again. You're going to be trapped again. The fear of man brings a snare. Don't study the conspiracies. Study what God has to say about what He will do to provide for you in the days to come. And don't fear the things that are coming upon the world, because that fear is for the devil's children. It is for the wayward people of God also, to bring them to repentance and to trust in God. Well, God bless you, saints, and thank you for joining us. And I don't know whether we'll study this again or not. We'll just leave it up to the Lord. But thank you so much for being with us, and we love you, and God bless you. Go in peace.